Good afternoon. Hi, or good evening here from Antarctica.
Tell us, what conditions are you in right now?
Well, I'm living at Concordia Station. It's a French-Italian research station located in probably what could be considered the most extreme environment on Earth. The temperature outside is minus 70 degrees Celsius, that's 70. And we've just come out of a period of over 3 months of complete darkness. So now with some natural light only lasting for a few hours a day, we're not just feeling our way around, but also being able to see our way around, which is great.
In the time, the last 3 months of the Antarctic winter, have you ventured outside much at all, or have you been forced to stay indoors most of the time?
No, it's of course there's an element of safety. If the weather's particularly bad, and if we can't see where we're going, and we could get lost, then it's common sense to stay inside. But no, I've been very active outside during the winter. It's one of the things that allows you to get through the Antarctic winter. Certainly, the night sky as well is one of the clearest in the world. So we've only been blessed by the aurora australis, the southern lights, for one night over the entire winter period. But what a spectacular night that was, and I'm so happy I didn't sleep to it.
For a fella who's just spent 3 months in the most remote place on Earth in the darkest of winter, you sound remarkably chipper. Was the whole experience, was this your first time living through an Antarctic winter?
Yes, absolutely. It's probably the world's biggest psychological challenge you could ever undergo, you know, and it's a psychological marathon of the words I use to describe it now. But, you know, there's only one way through, and that's forward. There's no turning back. There's no escape. We've been isolated here from February until November when the first plane arrives. Of course, it's a bit of a false hope with the sun coming back just on Sunday yesterday. But, you know, we've still got 3 more months to go, so there's still time for me to become dark and depressed then.
When you say we, how many of you are there down there?
There's 13, that's 13, of which we're made up of a group of scientists, a chef, an Italian chef who's notably very good and actually worked in Ireland, Giorgio Dida. There's also a mechanic, a glaciologist, a meteorologist, a specialist of the weather, as well as myself, who's a human biologist and also medical doctor, physician, and also a few other people around. Together, we have to be completely self-sufficient here and be able to fix everything from the washing machine through to the experiments we run.
If you're the doctor for the station, and obviously, you know, you tend to other people's needs, what happens when you get sick?
Well, we have a nurse here as well this year. Usually there are 2 doctors on the station over winter, but unfortunately this year there was a mishap in that one of the doctors had to go home, and so I was left to take the main position. And fortunately, I was provided a nurse as well. So I guess my life is in her hands, and she is the only female here. Otherwise, the group's made up completely of males. So I hope I don't have to take my appendix out like Leonid Rogozov did in 1961 as a lone doctor at Novo Station in Antarctica. But you never know. In the next 3 months, anything could happen.
Absolutely. If the nurse is the only woman, does that introduce, like, I suppose, challenges in terms of the gender makeup and how people get on with each other? You know, you are isolated for quite a long time.
Oh, yeah, there's countless studies, of course, of jealousy amongst Antarctic communities. Antarctic communities over the last 30, 40 years have been anything from 6 people in a station through to, I think this year's total of 54 overwintering at the South Pole, which is a new record. But, you know, other stations have upwards of 100. You know, we're unfortunate that we've got so few, but that allows us to get to know one another very well, appreciate each other's boundaries, if you were, psychological boundaries, and get on as a group. And that's what we've done. There's only one way through the Antarctic winter, and that's together as a group, as a team, not just as a crew. And I think that's an important point to differentiate on. In terms of our only female here, we haven't had any significant problems, so and I hope we don't. So it's a trial that's gone well so far.
Earlier on, you obviously mentioned this is a psychological marathon, and I imagine that. Is monotony one of the big challenges?
You know, it's interesting. One of my predecessors actually said that for him, monotony was one of the greatest challenges of overwintering here, especially in this extreme environment. But I would completely disagree. It depends how you choose to spend to occupy your mind. I would say a bored mind down here is the worst possible thing you could ever go through, because the people that don't have identified roles and really can't occupy their mind, their minds are left to wander towards negativity. And so you need to find ways to keep positive. I've read my way through 100 years of polar history, some of which included Irish descendants from there. So, you know, various other things. I've introduced a new hobby of photography, which has kept me outside and busy during the night. So there's various things you can do. Some people have picked up musical instruments. I've tried to find new paths in musical taste, and I've recently found Joli Lewis, which of course is very upbeat.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just how you occupy your mind. Of course, you know, with the sensory deprivation and the confinement, sure, life becomes black and white in all the senses, in terms of you don't get the plethora of colour you would back in the Caribbean or, you know, travelling around the world, but or even living out in the green fields of Galway, you know, around Galway. So, you know, it's a challenge, and you know, it's with that challenge that you have to find ways to adapt and, you know, overcome, and that's the enjoyment that can be found during the Antarctic winter. It's coming up with new inventions to keep you and your colleagues sane, as opposed to descending into the film The Shining.
Absolutely. And obviously you're there for a very serious purpose. So you're there to explore or to approximate the conditions of a manned mission to Mars. What have you learned about your experiences there that could help in determining how best to approach such a mission?
Oh, so many, and they've already led me on to other projects, you know, that I'm designing and taking part in now, some pretty big projects, in fact. But, you know, the main lessons are that, one, the priority is to say that there are challenges we need to overcome in terms of understanding the biological changes inside the body alongside the psychological challenges. But the main underlying point is that we can do it. You know, it is possible. It's just... We've ironed out most of the big folds and, you know, and the challenges, and it's just understanding the smaller ones. And if we need starch to get them flat and crisp, you know, then that's what we need. And unfortunately, we can't do everything down here on the ground in Antarctica and in similar space analog environments. The International Space Station serves its role perfectly to understand, you know, how long and what happens to astronauts who spend such long times in space. So, you know, a one-way mission to Mars could take 8 or 9 months with the reacclimatization, if you will, to gravity, albeit one-third of what it would be on Earth, you know, and then the return back to zero-G, zero gravity, weightlessness, that is, coming back again. So, you know, there's things that you can't really appreciate from the ground here. You know, we obviously are on Earth, even though I like to call it Planet Concordia, a white Mars, if you will. But there are certain things that we can find out about psychology and about difficulties that people go through. So it's a jigsaw, and only by identifying the correct pieces and seeing a picture and trying to put them together to make that picture are you able to overcome that challenge.
Dr. Alexander Kumar, researcher at Concordia Station Antarctica, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us this afternoon. You mind yourself.
That's a pleasure. And just in case anyone's listening who knows me, I joined the Mount Kilimanjaro Celebrity Expedition that went up to raise money for Crumlin Children's Hospital in Dublin, alongside Catherine Thomas, there were many others,
Jenny Buckley
and Paul Byrne and people. So, and Darren Holden, congrats on recently playing for the US president. So hello to everyone that knows me and remembers me, and I hope you're all doing very well, and good luck for future fundraising.
Absolutely. Alexander.
Big shout out to Crumlin.
Thanks very much. You take care.